Promotion is part of walking out life. We get the opportunity at every turn to be promoted, to move forward, and it's something we should look forward to, something we should be excited about and not drag our feet about, because God promotes those even in the kingdom that do well. And if God has given you talents and you're hiding these talents, then your promotions come slower than others. But if God has blessed you with those and you're using them, promotion comes quickly. I'm going to ask a little permission for a little leeway this morning. Do I have that? All right. So what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to stand up here and preach to you in a rear view mirror. How does this? See, that was my good eye. So this is my bad one. So I'm going to miss a few things in this one. But as I go forward this morning, first thing we're going to do is pray. And what are you laughing about, Wendy? So I'm showing you probably my best side. So the nice thing about this is I like the old boy in the mirror. He's him and I are pretty familiar, and we get along well, and we talk a lot together. But you know, when I'm speaking in the rearview mirror, I can only catch guys on this side, and then if I turn just right, I'm getting you. So I'm really missing a lot that's going on in the room. See, so this becomes much more difficult because I get a glimpse from once in a while, and then I've got to read my sheet. It's kind of like I seen someone going down the highway, the Gene Snyder, the other day, and they were driving, and they were putting on their makeup and smoking a cigarette. So I think this was a woman. I think the makeup might give that away, and I seen them glance up in the rearview mirror once in a while. I wondered how they stayed on the road. So I now know one of the good reasons God didn't make me a woman, because staying on the road on a normal day for me is difficult. Can you guys see my face in there? No. Oh, that's a shame. That's a real shame. So small group forms are due by next week. So if you're having a small group, pick up the forms out there in the hallway and get those in and hand them into the office. There's a back-to-school pool party August 25th. See Zach for more info. And then we have a baptismal service coming up. September 30th, see Ada or Carla for more information. That's all good, huh? You know, as we looked at that, we thought it was kind of funny. Right? There were some fun parts in that. I heard some laughter out there. But it was kind of strange, too, wasn't it? Yeah. Was it odd? Does it have its odd feeling? I mean, man, we don't want to look at the backside of this horse all day long. It's kind of funny. And some of you had the question mark, why? Why would he do something like that? But when we sit and we stand and we do things like that, it narrows the view of the person. My view was really narrowed. And when my back's to you, you can't see the personality. You can't really begin to live. And you know what? I missed out on a lot of the activity that was going on out here. People were moving, things were happening, and I was trying to keep my focus. So if I would go the next half hour like that, I think I'd lose you guys a lot. You go, this is really strange. This guy's just really out there today. I would lose the movement and the feel of the crowd. You wouldn't really get to see my face or my expressions, because body language and all they're very expressive. Anger, happiness, frustration. And you'd be guessing why he's doing this and why he's doing this all the time. Well, this baffles me in another way. There's some of you out there that are living your life in the rearview mirror. You're looking back at what could have been, what should be, what I missed, what I gave up, the desires and the chances I missed. You ever been with someone like that, that every time you get with them, they're not talking about what God's doing now, they're talking about what happened back there? Has anybody ever drove down the interstate backing up in a rearview mirror? I've seen a few guys that are good at it. But it's still a very dangerous, very, very hostile situation to be in. So those that live in the rearview mirror are hanging on to things like bitterness, fear. They're very fearful people. Can I say that they've actually allowed strongholds to get and to form and to drive the stakes in the ground? I think they're wounded. They're stuck. And there's people that are doing this every day. And may I tell you that there's absolutely no reason for it. There's no reason to be stuck where you are. Because when I can turn around and see you, then I can begin to see whether I can trust you. I can go chasing after things. See, the word's quite clear about chasing into the battle. Not shrinking back from it, chasing into it. Go for the battle. Go forward. And when I come around and I face you again, I can be including. You can read me. I can be inviting. I can be intentional. I can be careful, and you can observe, and I can observe. But when you live life in the rearview mirror, you're missing the destiny that God had for you going forward. God did not have you dream about the past. We just talked about dreams as the Holy Spirit led me. But He wants you to dream for the future. Can I go in my past and speak to you this morning about mistakes that I've made, about sins in my past, about what a lousy guy I was back then? And I could probably even tell you a few good things that I might have done back then. But that really doesn't matter now, does it? What matters is, do you trust and can you receive from the guy that's looking at you forward? That's what really matters at the end of the day. Not what I did in the past. See, because my father's been gone for how long, Carr? 25 years? 25, 30 years. And the things that he did in the past, I remember a few of them. The good things he did in the past, I remember a few less of those. The bad things he did, I remember a few more of them. But those, that's all fading. The past is fading. As I'm going forward, I'm distancing myself from that. And in that, I'm going, Holy Spirit, what is it that you want to activate? What is it you want to set in motion going forward? And then when you die, after those that live in the rearview mirror, are you going to get to heaven? Yeah, if you've been good people, ask Jesus into your heart and all, you're going to get to heaven. But is Jesus really, what are you expecting to hear from him at that moment? Welcome. Welcome. Good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear. But I'm not sure that's what you're going to hear if you continue to live in the rearview mirror. I think you're going to, hey, I'm glad you finally got here. I mean, I don't know that Jesus would say that, but Bert would say that. Hey, you sure took the long way getting around to get here. What took you so long? Man, just did you see all the things you missed on the way by because you weren't paying attention to going forward? You were so intent on the past. So I'm asking you to ask the Holy Spirit, are there those things in my life that I'm hanging on to over my shoulder that I need to let go? What pain, what abuse, What did a parent say? What did a brother do? I know brothers who have been estranged from each other for 40 years because somebody said something. And you know, if you set them both down right now, nobody'd know what was said or why they're even mad at each other. All they know is that they're mad. And at the end of the day, they're probably not mad at each other. They're just mad at life, that something didn't turn out, something didn't go their way, something. And it's such a thin veil that has covered their, of deception that has covered their hearts and lives, that it's there's really nothing to amount to in it all. Amen? All right, I almost got an amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Something that's on my heart, and I want to back up again. I know I'm doing this a lot today. There's several families sitting out here that had great loss in this last several weeks, and I want to pray for these families. We prayed for you while you weren't here, but we want to pray for the Karmas and the Gilmores, since they're in the house this morning, if you'll allow us to do that. When you lose the patriarch of your family, when you lose that man that, and I did it, even though there was times I couldn't stand my dad, that old feller stood on a pedestal for me. And when that pedestal fell over, that was a hard season. And so my heart goes out to you for your father, your father-in-law. He's grandfather. He's the husband. He's many things to many people, and we just want to pray for them. So just put your hands out towards this family. Dear Holy Spirit, I don't even have the right to speak about the pain that these have felt. But Lord, I know that you're the blessings of the Holy Spirit and the peace that only comes through you has washed over, and I pray it continues to wash over these families, dear God, through this time, through this season. Because there will be times, there will be seasons, there will be memories, there will be these things that will come up and bring to remembrance, Lord, how great these men were in these lives, dear God, and who they were. And Lord, it's at those times, Lord, that we'll continue to cry out and latch on to you. Come fill them, come be with them, and Lord, may these men, dear God, as they've set their legacy in motion, and this legacy has been set in motion one way, one how, because they're sitting in the house of God this morning, dear God. And those men, Lord, are in the realm of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning. So bless these families as they go forward in your precious name. Amen. See, it's so important that we laugh together, that we party together, that we work together, and that we can also have sorrow, walk in the sorrow and the crying together. That's really important, amen? Let's not forget that. And then when you ask, you don't have to tiptoe around these things. Hey, how you doing with this? And if you knew them, remember when and all, those memories are so sweet. Those are so good. Because you may have some stories that they don't even know about. And those things are good. So this ain't something we sweep under the rug, we put in the closet, and we put away. Death is something we celebrate, even though it's so hard and it's painful here. But we celebrate it because, man, there is no more pain, no more sorrow, no more that they have to deal with. Amen? John 3:16. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So this morning I want to talk a little bit between the law and grace. It's interesting that we assume, we sitting in this body, there's some of you, assume that the minute that Adam and Eve went in the garden, that there was a whole myriad of laws attached to the garden. And that's such a myth. There was two things that were said at that time: go and multiply, and do not eat from that tree. That was the only thing that God really put out there that they should not do. Do not. See, but we attribute from that time forward that there's a whole myriad of thou shalt nots and don'ts and stay away from and don't do, and so we begin to put a deep, deep base in the law. See, from the very beginning, God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have life to its fullest. Have life with lots of abundance. Have life with that glass that's overflowing with the goodness of God. Everlasting. I have no idea what everlasting even is. I haven't lived out everlasting yet. A lot of days I'm trying to live out the present, and that can be quite the chore. But God has come to give us life and life everlasting. The word wealth on this chat, on this particular verse, talks about a word named agapoa. Agapo, and I'm no Greek scholar by any means, as you know. And this means unconditional love. When you think of God, do you think unconditional love? Your first thing out of your head, do you think unconditional love? I never did. I always thought, God, boy, you're hard. You're a stiff ruler. You got lots of rules, lots of laws, lots of things that I can't hang out with. But unconditional love, love by choice and by an act of the will. The word denotes unconquerable benevolence and undefeatable goodwill. Agapoo will never seek anything but the highest good for fellow mankind. Agapo, the verb, and agape, the noun, are the words for God's unconditional love. It does not need a chemistry, an affinity, or a feeling. Agapoa is a word that exclusively belongs to the Christian community. It is love virtually unknown to writers outside of the New Testament life. See, the Old Testament did not have this veil broken for them at that time. Same God, but those attributes were hidden behind the veil. And when Jesus came, when that only begotten Son, for a Father who so loved the world, for a Father who so loved you, gave his Son so that he could rip that veil, so that you could see behind, to see that true, unfailing, unmistakable love of a Father that has so much more for us than what we see. God, so much more than a bunch of rules, than a bunch of do's and don'ts, than a bunch of things like that. And as Jesus hung on that cross, as he was thrown on that cross, that's where we see the difference in the personality of God the Father shown through to us. This is very emotional for me as I go forward, because I've never to know that love of the Father. It's been a very exciting season, because God has really been showing me that heartfelt love for me. Now, I've always known he loved me. I've always known he cared. And I always figured if he changed his mind, he'd come and tell me, type of God. But that ain't really who God is. God loves me to such a depth that he wants, he's always been wooing me. He's always been herding me in. He's always been seeking me, just as he has each and every one of you out there. You don't understand it. I don't want you to understand it, but I do want you to bask in it. I do want you to dance in it. I do want you to believe it. I do want you to feel it. I do want you to smell it. I do want you to, when he wraps his arms around you, you know it. When he carries you, you feel it. When he rescues you, you're relieved and you're thanking him. And you're just one of his children that he continually wants to come to. So it's interesting, John 3:16, that verse 14 says, he talks about, 14 talks about, and Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so much that the Son of Man be lifted up. And 15 goes, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have an everlasting life. And then 16 goes into, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. See, God not only confirms, he continues to confirm his word to his sons and daughters. I don't possess the ability to love anyone, to give up my only begotten Son, to even let that ruminate through my mind and my heart and soul stops me. It slows me down. I have to know what the battle is. See, because God, his grace and his love are more than enough for all of us who sin. He put an end to it there when he gave his Son on the cross. So as God allowed his only begotten Son to be laughed at, to be humiliated, to be tortured and beaten and left to die. It was at that point that God had to turn his back and let this happen so that we could have life to its full abundance, to its fullness. So when he did that, God etched the words of the message, "Be forgiven," at that moment in life. So there's a place, there's a well, there's a point of reference that we can go to that says, be forgiven. I can go to that point, throw myself on that spot and be broken and forgiven for anything and everything I've done. See, and when Jesus came and covered, it wasn't a you have to come back to the well, come back to the well. No, it's good when you come back to the well. But as long I am a man, and as long as I'm alive, we could sit down, if I'm totally honest with you, I could explain to you, I continue to sin. I sinned yesterday, I had sinful thoughts. You know, I think it was last week, I had a lively discussion on the way to church with my wife, a discussion. But it was lively. And my octaves were high. So she told me. My wife is so observant, she lets me know these things, and I appreciate that. And some would say, "Well, man, you're a man of God about to go in that pulpit and you're acting like this." Yeah, I'm a sinner. I'm kind of lousy a lot of times. But that blood of Jesus continues to cover those things. And then I see sin, and I've fought this my whole life. I mean, I've been in a church where the spirit of the Pharisee has ran so deep. The spirit of religion had run so deep that everything you did was a sin. And I don't know how you ever get clean in that type of an atmosphere. I don't think you do. There's got to be a lot of deception going on in there, And I know for me as a kid growing up, that was a lot of misery trying to figure out, hey, if I can't do this right, what's the sense in doing this? hey, if I'm going to sin anyways tomorrow and blow this, then why am I even fighting through all this? Why am I going through all this process? But when Jesus laid that blood out there, he came and he covered my sin yesterday, what I'm doing today, and what I'm doing tomorrow. So you'll ask me, why? Well, if Jesus did then why don't you just go out and do whatever you want? And I can, and there's forgiveness in that. But why would I want to hurt? Why would I want to put stress? Why would I want to make the heart of my God mourn by me willfully doing that? See, most of the sins, if I'm quite honest, that I do, and maybe most of you, is because I'm in a hurry, and I don't care what people are thinking of that. They're oversights, they're slights, they're things that I allow to do. Or maybe I've got addictions. And a sin and an addiction starts out as sin. I get it. Starts out as a moral decision. And then it moves into a sin, which moves into an addiction. But then it is not so easy to set aside. Once I build pathways within my brain and my heart, they're not so easy to set aside as just the normal everyday sin or I lied once. And why did I lie? I normally know why I lie. I'm usually covering the backside that you guys saw from being bit. I'm normally covering myself. I know none of you guys do that. That's okay. That's okay. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. If I give it to you, can I go take it back? He gave his only begotten Son. That if you... And yes, you and you believe should not perish but have everlasting life. And I didn't turn the page and it said, unless you did A, B, C, and D and gave me the laundry list. He says, if I believed in Jesus Christ, I have everlasting life. I get to hang on to that rope. I get to tie it around me. And sometimes it's a rocky, rocky road. I really get dragged through some heavy waters. Normally, that I have brought on myself. So let's look at the law of turn and burn. You ever heard that? Turn or burn? Man, I've brought up in that. Turn or burn. And that preacher always looked back. I always sat in the back row with my dad, and he always looked at Bert, turn or burn. I know he's saying that in his heart. He looked right at me. Bert, turn or burn. Why me? Go over there and look at Kevin. Kevin needs to turn or burn. I know more about his dirt than mine. What are you always pointing at me? But the Holy Spirit said, Bert, turn or burn's a long ways from be forgiven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if, Bert, you believe in me, you're going to have everlasting life. He didn't say if you believe in me and sin, then turn or burn's still on the table. No, turn or burn was pulled off the table for me when I realized that Jesus Christ was the answer. So if you don't, in what I've said today, let me ask you another. How many of you grade sins? Holy smokes, this sin's worse than this sin, and that sin's worse than that sin, and would I rather have my grandson Wes, the squirrel, sitting here with a a mass murderer? Or would I rather have him sitting over here with a homosexual? Ask yourself the question. Then deal with it. The problem is we hope that we will be able to protect him and that will never happen. Well, you know what? If this guy's in here seeking God, as well as this guy's in here seeking God, do I have a whole lot to worry about? Yeah, I'm going to protect him. But I mean, that's the way my mind works. I mean, I've got my own set of sins that I want to stay away from. But there's times you'll catch me in a lie, more than likely. You'll catch me doing something that you go, is that really what a pastor, moral man should be doing? Guys, I'm far from perfect. I'm far from that. And is my sin any worse than these guys' sin? My heart wants to say yes. Oh, things. Boy, I've got some frowns on some faces looking back at me now. This is getting interesting. But I want you to think. I want you to do it. You got grandkids. It changes the game a little bit more. Man, I thought I had it all together when I had kids. Man, I had an answer for everything. Now that I got grandkids, I don't have an answer for nothing. You want ice cream? Yeah, I have it. That's my answer. You want to watch a goofy show with pops? Let's do it. You know, you want me to go out and swing with you? Okay, but if I fall, know that I'm going to be down longer than you are. I don't get up as fast as you do. If you do not hear love and grace when God speaks to you and to your spirit, how many of you hear a different voice? If you're not hearing love and grace, what do you hear? Condemnation, shame, guilt. Okay, let me finish this then. If you do not hear love and grace when God speaks to your spirit, then what you are hearing is a false spirit. So when you look in the mirror and you see that guy, when you look in the mirror and you don't like who you see, that's not the Spirit of God looking back, speaking to you. So you got a question then what is inside of me that continues to speak back to me? Now I might have a hair out of place or two, and I'm even missing a few up there. But that doesn't mean I don't like this guy. I may do some things wrong, but I can ask for forgiveness from the Heavenly Father and then myself. See, keep your account, the Old West way is keep your accounts clean every day. Now, maybe the East has it too, but I don't hear that over here as much as I did in the West. That's Western sitting around the campfire talk. Got your accounts cleaned up today? Anything hanging out there? Because those are the things that are going to get you. But what is the false spirit that you're listening to? That ain't the spirit of the John 3:16. And see, we've commercialized, we monopolized John 3:16. Wrestlers wear it, the he-men wear it. John 3:16. Well, what's that really mean to you, pal? You don't come anywhere close to what those words actually mean. The heart of what God was doing. For God so loved you. See, I can put each and every one of your names in there. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. See, we don't want to personalize these things because then we get to deal with them. What are the questions rolling through your brain, rattling off the inside of that my empty skull, that you're just scared to ask because you might have to walk through some pain to figure it out? Because there's going to be pain unless you face the pain. Any conviction that we experience from the Holy Spirit is the beginning of something that God wants to do in your life. Did you get that? Any conviction that we experience is at that point where the Holy Spirit's coming knocking. And he says, I want to do something in your life right there. I want to start right there. Will you let me in there? You know, grace trumps the law every time. I proved it right there with John 3:16. See, when from the time Adam and Eve left the garden to the time that Noah came on the scene, 1,600 years went by. It's interesting. The author says that's two pages in the Bible pretty much went by. And we don't realize there were 1,600 years go by without a law being spoken from God, except go forth and multiply. And the original law, do not eat from that tree. There were no more laws put in place. So if God was such a God of laws, why weren't those imprinted from the very beginning? And then we go on from there after Noah crawls on the ark. I was telling some guys the other day, we were driving down the road, and I says, it had to be interesting. See, because Noah didn't build that boat himself. Noah was a master craftsman of that day. And he had buddies. He had hired men. He had people around him building every day. But yet nobody caught the vision of what Noah was doing. Nobody saw. I'm going, how do you work alongside an old feller like Noah your whole life? This took 100 years. I don't know how long the ark actually took to make. Any scholars out there that can tell me? It was a long time. But none of these guys said, hey, Noah, when you get on this boat, and I think you're crazier than a loon, but can I get on there with you? I mean, I'll hang out for a couple of days. Can we make the father-in-law suite over here so I can hang out with you there for a while? Just a little bit of insurance. Did they not? Insurance wasn't introduced back then. Sure is now. I'm really perplexed that Noah had to really even go out and get his sons-in-laws. They didn't even come for at least, hey, go out and get these, get your daughters, get your family on here. I'm going, wow. So can someone throw away their relationship with God? Question I want you to ponder this week. Can someone throw away the relationship with God by choosing to no longer have faith in a loving God that gave his only begotten son? Can Burt Moore throw away my relationship with God by choosing to no longer have faith? Yes, I can. Would I be stupid? Yeah, I would be. But could I do it? Yeah. I know some of you might want to argue that, and I got no problem having coffee and talking about that. Yes, I believe it is possible. But denying Christ for all eternity is the consequences of unbelief. There's consequences to me believing that. There's consequences for me continuing to walk in my sin. There's consequences for those that go out and murder someone. Is that one that murders, can they be forgiven and restored and find a place in heaven? I believe they can. But there's consequences for the act or the action. If I go rob a bank and steal from someone, can I come to my senses, repent, and be restored? I believe I can. But I may have to do the rest of those that in hard time. I may have to keep my backside against the wall the rest of my days. That flew over most of your head. That's okay. If I live, some of you are just getting it. If I live a life of immoral sexual sin, oh, now you're meddling, Bert. If I live a life of shooting heroin wherever I want to shoot it, if I live a life of prostitution, can I come off of that, be forgiven, find a place in heaven? Pretty heavy stuff, because some of those sins I got rated right up there as the bad boys. Did the feller that killed all those people and cannibalized them and have that jailhouse where he found the Lord and got saved? Will we be able to walk in heaven and find him if he truly? Yes? No? Wow. So if that's true, if you guys truly believe that, why do you hold yourselves back with these sins in your life? Did you cannibalize somebody? Did you murder somebody? Are you having weird sexual stuff go on in your life? Are you? What are those things that are listed up there? But yet you'll look in this mirror and you'll go, God cannot bless me because I cheated on my taxes. God cannot bless me because I told a lie. God cannot bless me because I'm in an addiction. God cannot. You guys sure put a lot of stock in what God can't do. And my Bible says that there's nothing, absolutely nothing that ain't possible for God to do. So I think I did what I planned to do today, just throw a whole bunch of questions at you, and you get to go home and deal with them. Guys, there's nothing that you can do. There's no place you can run. There's no place you can hide that the Holy Spirit won't come seeking you. There's nobody going to come through those back doors that'll bring a sin in. There's nobody can come through that back door that God can't forgive if they truly have a heart, if they truly are seeking what God, that they want to hang out the rest of their life with the Holy Spirit.